Welcome to another Standard Asset Management podcast. My name is Dave Watson, and I'm one of the investment specialists at Standard Asset Management. Today, I'm talking to Radomir from Mark, who is head of Standard Systematic Solutions business. And today, we're going to be chatting about the Standard Enhanced Multi-Style Equity Fund and some of the key talking points coming into the third quarter of 2025. Radomir, I'm looking forward to hearing your insights as always, and especially given the amount of news flow that all of us have had to deal with over the past quarter. It's been a continuation from Q1 of this year as well. And I guess the nature of the process that you and the team run will really give us a sense for what are the numbers actually telling us, not just the headlines. Perhaps a good place to start is really just to reflect on how the SA equity market more broadly behaved over the second quarter of the year, and I guess how it held up in this environment with a lot of really jam-packed, striking headlines across the globe.
Thanks, Dave. So it's been another really eventful quarter in global markets, you know, very much driven by, I think, geopolitical tensions, you know, Trump tariffs, and very much, I think, very much a Trump story. And if you look at sort of what performance was like, global equity markets certainly pretty strong over the quarter. The MSCI World up 11.7%, Japan was up almost 14%, emerging markets 12%. Within the US, you know, a lot of AI-driven optimism, particularly around the Magnificent Six tech names. The US dollar weakened by 7%, and I guess South African equities really had a strong quarter. The MSCI South Africa was up 14%. In US dollars. And 9.6% in ZAR terms. And then, of course, the CAP 6, which is our benchmark index, was up 9.7% over the quarter. A lot of that, I think, maybe just to give a bit more context into what drove that SA market performance, a lot of that SA market performance came from the resources sector. Gold, obviously, had trading an all-time high, very strong bull run in gold. But this quarter was mainly driven by the platinum counters. So platinum as an underlying commodity was up about 34% over the quarter and 50% year to date. And the platinum miners in South Africa, talk about the Impala, Platinum, Sibanye's, Northam's, the combined basket there up almost 100% over the year to date. So significant and strong performance by the platinum miners in particular over the quarter. And I think a lot of that very much sentiment driven. So maybe just to give some context on that, of course, our investment philosophy is to invest at the intersection of quality and value and growth. And what that means is that we tend to buy stocks that are in the top half of the market by a range of different quality metrics, such as return on equity and earnings quality, etc. We also then buy into the top half of the market by a number of valuation multiples, you know, forward PE, price to book multiples, and then a number of growth metrics where analysts are revising the earnings estimates for stock price momentum, etc., from a growth perspective. And then we try and buy into that overlap of stocks that tick all three of those boxes. So best in best quality, best value, and best growth dimensions. And then we track the performance of that basket of best-in-class stocks. And we also look at the performance of the worst-in-class stocks, so the stocks that are of low growth, low quality, and that are expensive. And over this quarter, it's been one of those really weird quarters where the worst-in-class stocks significantly outperformed the best-in-class stocks. So, you know, looking at the fundamentals of those platinum counters, they certainly haven't shifted. Even with the uptick in the platinum price, we're still not seeing the upwards revisions in earnings expectations for the platinum counters. Only marginal upticks on a two-year-out expectation. We know, even from a momentum perspective, you know, platinum stocks are just a bad start to the year. If you look back on a one-year horizon, that they're only really now starting to recover that. So on a momentum score or on a momentum perspective, they sort of still middle of the pack from a momentum perspective, despite the strong performance. They're quite expensive. Impala Platts on a two-year forward PE is it's one of its most expensive valuations ever. So these platinum counters are not ticking the boxes from a fundamental perspective, and yet they've rallied very hard. But so what we've did, I think what is interesting is we've built a market irrationality indicator, which is in essence the spread between the performance of the best-in-class bucket and the worst-in-class bucket. And then we sort of standardize that to see, you know, how much is the market being driven by fundamentals through time, and how much is the market being driven by irrational sentiment. And at the moment, we are two standard deviations into an irrational market. And there's only been four times in history since we've got data back to 2000 where the market was behaving as irrational as it is at the moment. So it's been a pretty tough quarter for the fund. We're down 61 basis points over the quarter. And it's been a tough first half of the year for the fund. But we're quite comfortable with that. We are fundamental investors. We're not traders, and we believe in investing in the fundamentals of the market through the cycle, with at least a 3-year horizon. So there will be periods when we underperform, when the market is driven mostly by these short-term irrational sentiment, and we will expect to outperform when the market rewards the fundamentals of stocks. Yeah, it's been a pretty eventful quarter, and let's see what happens. I mean, either one of two things is going to happen. Either the fundamentals for the platinum counters are going to catch up, and we'll start to buy into those as the sentiment becomes long-term and structurally fundamental. Or alternatively, it's a bit of a bull trap, and the platinum counters might turn around, in which case we'll recoup the alpha that we've given away. Maybe just another point, Dave, that we've done is we've done some work in terms of how much alpha we've generated from our various overweights and underweights to the platinum miners in particular. And we've done this work because platinum miners are hurting at the moment. And since inception in 2016 of the fund, we've generated almost 16% of alpha by being overweight at the right time in the platinum counters and underweight at the right time in these platinum counters. And over the last 6 months, we've given back about 2.5% of that 16. So, you know, that tells us that the process and the philosophy and the fundamentals that we look at to value and evaluate these platinum counters is sound. And we're comfortable that this sentiment-driven market will either revert or the fundamentals will catch up.
Yeah, right, Amanda. Great insights there. And I mean, if I can try and just, I suppose, take what you've said then, try and summarize it into really two overarching points. I guess for me, the first one would be that you wouldn't really expect a process that is grounded in, you know, rational fundamental approach to investing. You wouldn't expect a process like that to outperform in this type of market environment that's largely irrational sentiment driven. And the second one being, and importantly, it sounds like during these periods, it does, however, give that process very fertile ground for picking stocks that are going to perform going forward from here. So a little bit of, I suppose, maybe short-term pain that one might have to go through here, but ultimately really sets the scene for some good performance for the fund going forward.
100%, Dave. And look, the reality of the market is that it, over the long term, it's driven by fundamentals. And so this really sentiment-driven market environment has to mean revert. And we're well positioned for that event.
Thanks, Roman. I guess if maybe there's just one, I suppose, element of the way that you guys execute within the portfolio that I'd like to touch on that, again, I think is particularly important in environments of high amounts of news flow, a lot of volatility in markets, and a tendency for some investors to maybe make knee-jerk, outsized changes to their portfolios. And what I'm talking about here is the fact that within the Enhanced Multistyle Equity Fund, you guys implement a staggered rebalancing approach, which ultimately prevents the fund from making those really outsized knee-jerk type reactions in all market environments. And importantly, it's based on a lot of research. Maybe you could just talk us through a little bit around that rebalancing approach.
Yeah, no, happy to, Dave. So I guess the reality of the different fundamentals that we look at is that they all have different sort of payoff periods. If you think about a momentum or earnings revision signal as an alpha signal, that's a very short-term signal. So you have to trade that quite frequently to capture the alpha from that. Whereas value, buying cheap stocks, is a strategy or an alpha signal that takes a long time to crystallize the alpha. You can think of, you know, value investors tend to be long-term 5-year investors, and then if that fails to crystallize, they become deep value investors, which is like a 7 to 10 year horizon. Anyway, so these different alpha signals and these different fundamentals that we look at have different payoff profiles, and because we combine them in this quality, value, and growth framework, the optimal holding period for our selection of alpha signals is about 1 year. And so the way that we pragmatically implement that insight to extract the maximum amount of alpha in the portfolio is to use this staggered rebalancing approach that you mentioned. And I like to explain it almost like it's bottles of wine that's being corked. So in essence, whenever we rebalance the portfolio on a monthly basis, we construct the current best portfolio for that month, and we call that vintage one. And we bottle that vintage for a year. Next month, we construct the next best optimal portfolio, that's vintage two, and we bottle that portfolio for another year. And if we do that 12 times, we basically have 12 bottles of wine in our wine rack. And each month, we take the oldest bottle out, we uncork it, we drink it, and we put a new fresh bottle in. And the total portfolio is, in essence, the combination of all 12 vintages put together. Now, what that means is that we assimilate information into the portfolio in a very structured and systematic way. So, and that translates into our active positions building up over time. So we would take up an active position, let's say our maximum overweight is 5% in a single stock. We'd build up to that maximum of 5% over a 12-month period. Conversely, we would trade out of our active positions over a 12-month period. So we really build conviction slowly in our long-term fundamental positions and trades. What that does mean, however, is that during periods such as this, when the market has these really sharp and very short-term spikes, you know, our process is set up to operate through the cycle on a 3-year horizon, and we tend to incorporate that information in a slower way. So we tend to underperform in these short, sharp periods of market turbulence.
And I think, I guess, that speaks to you know, we've heard the term in terms of sometimes the best thing to do is just sit on your hands. I mean, obviously that's not what you guys are doing, but just making sure that you don't make an irrational decision based on short-term news flow. And I think through time, we've seen within this fund how that ultimately delivers better for clients rather than trying to every day make a judgment call on the latest news flow. I think you definitely would have piqued the interest of a lot of our listeners when you brought in the conversation of wine. So very clever tactic there. Rodimer, just, I guess, before we close off this podcast, maybe to bring it down to the fund, you chatted a little bit earlier in terms of how the process works, trying to identify, you know, the stocks that sit within the intersection of quality and value and growth. I mean, if you look over the course of quarter two, maybe just to give us a sense of what were some of the biggest shifts you saw in terms of the scoring of, you know, both from a sector or a stock perspective, however you'd prefer to cover it. But just to give us a sense for what we really saw coming through the process during the quarter two of this year.
Yeah, so Dave, I guess the other detractor from our performance over the first half of the year were some of the telco companies, and MTN in particular. So MTN scored terribly on the fundamentals back in December. And I guess the Nigerian tariff adjustment that they got through the regulator there has caused their earnings expectations to be adjusted upwards, and rightly so. And so we've started to close our underweights in MTN, and it's one of our biggest trades over the quarter. So we bought about 1.5% of MTN, and currently sitting at about a 2% underweight. You know, as the stock rallies, it becomes more expensive. So you have to weigh off these different dimensions of the stock. So its growth prospects are improving, but it's also becoming more and more expensive. So, you know, you can't just go all in with a big, massive overweight in the counter. And so we're slowly closing that underweight, and we'll reevaluate our holding in the next period. The biggest stock that we've sold is actually our large overweight in Harmony Gold. So over the quarter, we sold almost 2% of our Harmony Gold overweight, taking some profits. It's been one of the biggest contributors to our alpha over the longest time, probably about a year, as we've harvested alpha from that strong gold rally through Harmony Gold. And we switched our Harmony Gold position into some of the other gold counters, such as Gold Fields. From a sector perspective, we've gone slightly more overweight on the financial sector. We still see a lot of value and potential for alpha generation in that sector, and we've gone more underweight in the material sector. And I guess that's one of the positionings in the fund that hurt us. I mean, if we look at the attribution of the fund over the last quarter, we've certainly generated alpha from our overweight positions. The likes of an OUTsurance, the likes of a Momentum, they've all generated alpha. So we've managed to correctly pick our overweights, but the underweights, the magnitude of the performance of the underweights in those platinum counters and MTN in particular, dwarfed the outperformance that we got from the overweights. And that happens. I mean, that happens when the market behaves irrationally. That happens when the worst-in-class stocks outperform the best-in-class stocks. And we're just going to stick to the process through the cycle.
Yeah, thanks, Rod. I mean, I think it's always great for, all of our clients and interested parties listening to these podcasts, just to get a sense that, you guys are comfortable, the process is doing what we would expect in this environment, and we, happy that it's going to continue to deliver the great results that it has over the appropriate periods for clients. So yeah, thank you for your insights today. Great to chat to you as always. And I think we'll leave it there for today. But again, thank you to our clients and anyone who took the time to listen to the podcast. If you do want to chat more about the fund, you're very welcome to at any time reach out to myself or your standard representative. We're always available to help with any questions. But thank you for your time, and we'll chat again soon.
STANLIB is an authorized financial services provider in terms of the FASE Act and a registered manager in terms of CISCO. Please refer to the MDD or fact sheet available on www.stanlib.com for additional information about this fund. This should not be construed as advice.